So, starting off this morning, I believe that we all have a deep need in our lives to be content. We all have a deep need to be satisfied. And this deep need to be content in life is not a surface thing. It's a deep-rooted thing in us that we just want to be content. And many times we're making a lot of decisions and choices in our lives subconsciously, but the driving factor is, I just want to be content. Okay? And that's all we have. You've had people say, if I can just, then I'll be... Okay, so can we work that together? If I can just be... Okay, Myra, have you had... If I can just be...
Happy.
Okay, if I can just be...
Happy.
Well, what do people say before they say I'll be happy? If
wealthy.
I can just get... If I can just be wealthy, then I'll be...
Happy.
Okay, so if I can just be... Okay, you can be what? Nice.
Famous,
then I'll be
happy.
Tom, if I can just be, you got one. If I can just be,
no.
Okay, if I can just be,
if
I can just be wise, I'll be. If I can just have, if I can just be popular, I'll be happy. If I can just be married, right? Okay. If I can just have. A new car, a gold medal, if I can just have some new furniture, if I can just have some new boots, if I can just have a new job. So what does that imply? When people say, if I can just have a new job, if I can just have a man, if I can just have a car, if I can just have a house, if I can just have, I'll be happy, what are they implying? That thing will make them happy.
All right.
Okay, so what happens when they get the thing? Then you want something else. So now that you got the car, it wears off. Now that you got the house, it wears off. Now that you got the new purse, it wears off. Everything you get begins to do what? Wear off, and then you're like, I want... Do you see how the cycle goes?
Yep.
So we have this cycle that happens in our lives because there's a deep need inside of us to be content, and the more we seek these things, the more we feel like, you know, I'll be happy. Now, what's the underlying... When I think about that way, like, if this just happens... I'll be in a whole storyline that we're telling ourselves. What's the underlying?
That either materialism makes us happy.
Yes.
Or relationships makes us happy.
We think relationship makes us happy. Stuff is going to make us happy. In a whole storyline that is going on. Who's at the center of that? It's me.
Yeah.
Okay, I am the focus. And that's what we call... That's what we call the kingdom of me. Okay? I've lived the kingdom of me for a whole lot of my life. I've lived that. I've pursued that. I've woken up to the kingdom of me. If I can, if I will, if this would happen, it's the kingdom of me that we're all driven by. Now, this morning, when we caught up in that kingdom of me, this is where all our efforts go. We want to be satisfied. We want to be happy. We find that this kingdom of me is very predominant, even in marriages. You know, you can be married, but still there's a kingdom of me. A kingdom of me in my marriage, a kingdom of me in my finances, a kingdom of me. Everything is centered and focused on our lives. Now, this morning, I want to introduce you to a man in the Bible. His name was called King Solomon. Now, what do you know about King Solomon?
He was the richest man and the smartest man.
He was the smartest man and the richest man. That's well said. So Solomon, the son of David, God tells him, he goes and prays and seeks God, and he's before God, he's praying. God says, okay, you come to me, and then he encounters God. God says, what do you want me to do for you? He's like, give me wisdom. God is very impressed with him because he's asking for wisdom. God says, well, since you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you actually wealth. Now, she's right. He was very wealthy, but you'll know that. Not only was he wealthy, but according to Bible stats, there's not been a person that has been as wealthy as King Solomon. The Bible says, wisdom and knowledge, this is what God tells him in 2 Chronicles verse 1:12. He said, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I'll give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you. So God already set the precedent, like, you know what? I'm going to make you rich. No one in the past will ever match you, nor in the future. So now you'd be like, is God serious, really? Maybe Jeff Bezos is probably richer than him. But God say, no, nobody will be richer than you. So even the billionaires like Jeff Bezos, I think Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world now, but he's not matching Solomon. Now here's the thing. Let's put substance on that, because we don't just want to say, well, he was richer than everybody else, but let's see what the Bible says in verse 15. The Bible says, also the king, Solomon, watch this, he made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones. How rich do you have to be to make gold and silver like stones? Even Jeff Bezos, I'm telling you, I don't think he's got gold in his driveway. But in King Solomon's days, he was so wealthy that silver and gold, ladies and gentlemen, was as common as stone. So you go by the riverside and kids are picking up gold and throwing it into the water. That's how wealthy they were. Now you see, when God says that no one will be richer than you in time past or in the future, actually is what he meant, because I've not had any, but I know people may have gold toilets and have gold this, but they have no gold driveways. They have stone driveways, but in Solomon's days, this guy was so wealthy that silver and gold were like stones. How many of you go picking up stones? No, but we didn't just go, oh, there's a stone, I pick it. So imagine you have to walk life and you see gold, like, oh, that's gold. You just keep walking. They had plenty. Was so wealthy because God said, I'll make you so rich that no one will be able to match you. But so you think, so this is what's going on in Solomon's life. Decades later, he's got plenty of stuff. He's got gold. He's got everything life could give him. Everything. So decades later, his heart begins to shift. He began by seeking God. That's where his wisdom, his wealth came from. But decades later, his heart changed. And something happened to his life. Now, Solomon, this was written about him, but actually he also wrote something. He had a journal in the Bible, and that book is called the Book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon began to put down his thoughts and experiences. In chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes verse 2, Solomon says, meaningless. This is coming from a man that has it all, has plenty of everything. He says, meaningless, everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is completely meaningless. Nothing has any meaning. How many know that if somebody has to say something like that over and over again, it's like they're fully exhausted. They have no other words to say. He said, everything is meaningless. So this guy's got plenty, but it's like everything is meaningless. The word meaningless in the Hebrew is a word hebel, which means vanity, emptiness, and satisfying vapor, delusional fraud. So he's saying that all this stuff I got is all meaningless. Now it's coming from man that has everything, right? Yeah. So the Bible continues to say, what does a man get for all his work? Right? Mm-hmm. Why does he work so hard on this earth? I don't know about you, but we all work hard to meet the needs we have in our lives, don't we? We, and when we get our needs met, then we begin to try to satisfy our wants, right? Because we're working. And Solomon says, you know what? We all drive. We all want to work so hard and put our attention on things. And Solomon says, why do we do all this? Because there's a deep need inside of us that we're trying to meet, satisfy. So many times, especially in a Western culture, once we get our basic needs met, then we go beyond that to try to satisfy the deep things in our lives. Now, he says, what does man get for all his work? We are seeking to be content. It's a human nature, it's a human need that we all have. And in verse 3, actually the next verse here, he says, all streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the stream comes from, there they return again. So he's a man who's obviously like, that's kind of what our lives is. Our life is, we never content. We never satisfied. We have a deep need and we keep getting and we get more. You understand? You know, we have good furniture, but now we need new furniture. We got plenty of shoes, but we need new shoes, right? We got plenty of clothes, but we need plenty more clothes. You know, we got this, but we need more, right? I got this new car, but you know what? It doesn't have blind spot indicator. It doesn't have a rear view camera. It doesn't have Bluetooth. So I need one with Bluetooth, and I just want more because we got this driving deep need inside of us to be content. And he's like, you know, our lives seem to be like, I see the rivers keep pouring in it, but we are never satisfied. Okay, so he's describing what his life is, but we can see ourselves that this is not only Solomon, but it's that, you know, you get a raise and 3 months later you want another raise, and there's nothing wrong, but you know, you get a job and you want a better job. And it's that the human nature, we keep striving and going for something else, right? So Solomon is saying this is what's happening. Now, what happens when you find that you've got everything? And then everybody's got everything that you have. Now you want more. Because whatever you have, somebody has. People in your life got it. So you're like, you know what? I just want more. So Solomon says he tried that. All things are tiresome. They are more tiresome than anyone can see. But our eyes never see enough of anything. Our ears never hear enough. This is our culture. This is how we live, right? And then he says, let me just get more fun. So it's like, I've tried this. Now let me try being fun. Let me just enjoy pleasure. Let me just go into that. How many know that our culture is very good? If there's anything we do better than anything, it's having fun. We live in a culture that is driven by fun. I mean, we live for the weekend. Not you, but I'm talking about other people. Live for the weekend. Can't wait for the weekend. Thank God it's Friday. I can't wait. Do you know that birds make 60% of their money on the weekend? The beer companies, they make most of their money on the weekends because we're a culture that is driven by fun, and I can't wait. Do you also know that most heart attacks happen on Monday morning? What? People are more meaner and more depressed on Monday than they are on Friday because our culture is driven like, I just want to have a good time, right? I gotta have Netflix, I gotta have Hulu, I gotta have that, I gotta have 200 channels I can't watch, I gotta have it all, right? I have options. We're a culture that drives us. So Solomon said, let me just try to be happy, let me just create some fun. So this is what he says. I said to myself, come on, I'll put pleasure to the test. I want to find out what is good, but that also proved to be meaningless. You know, if you're the wealthiest man, you can afford any kind of pleasure you want. But he's saying, I tried that. And it was meaningless. And we can all relate to that. I mean, do you remember when you couldn't wait to go for a movie that just came out? You could wait to go. It comes, I can't wait. And then you come out and like, you can't even remember it. You can't even talk about it because it's gone. It's like a wind. It's meaningless. That's what he's trying to say. Everything's a fraud. It's like meaningless in life. It doesn't satisfy the deep need we have. He says, I tried pleasure. It didn't work. So someone's like, okay, I tried to have all the pleasure I could. Maybe let me try to drink. In verse 3 says, I tried cheering myself up. You can imagine a wealthiest man in the world like, I'm trying to satisfy something deep inside of me. He's like, I tried drinking wine, the finest alcohol there is. He's like, bring that to me. I didn't try living a foolish way. He's like, maybe let me turn off all the controls. Let me just go crazy, be crazy as it gets. He tried wine. He tried being a fool. He's seeking for something. But this is our human nature, right? He's like, but wisdom was still guiding my mind. I wanted to see what was really important for men to do on earth during the few days of their lives. Now that is huge. It's like, I wanted to see what is worth living for. In these few days we have on this planet, whether you have 60 years, 80 years, it's very few. It's very small compared to eternity. I wanted to see what is worth living for. What is worth giving my life for? What is the cause that I... What is one thing that I can wake up in the morning and look forward to? What is one thing that I can strive for? What can I make my life about? Because I'm trying everything. I've tried stuff. I've tried wealth. I've tried fun. I've tried pleasure. I've tried alcohol. I've tried everything. And everything is a fraud. Everything is meaningless. Now I wanted to know, what is my life worth living? What is one thing I can live for? That's the question we need to ask yourself. What is worth your life? I mean, we have few days on this life. We got a few days. Is my life worth living for me? Because someone's been living for himself. He's tried to make himself happy, make himself satisfied, make himself settle his universe, make everything about him, and it's like, it is meaningless. So if living for me is meaningless and leads to discontent, then what is my life worth living for? You see, we have to ask ourselves those questions because we get caught up in life and we're like, what I have is not doing it. I'm not happy. I just want to get more. And sometimes we're making decisions to go after stuff and we don't even know that what's driving us is a deep need inside of us. We may not even have a clue that there's a deep need inside of us to be content. It's probably the reason why we're doing everything we're doing, but we don't know, but we're trying to find what we need to find from the wrong places in life. You know, we just designed that way. And we have to be aware because, you know, if you're a man, you get a house, you're like, well, I got a house now, I need a man cave, and I'm going to get the biggest flat screen TV there is, and I'm going to get sounds, and this is going to be my cave, I'm going to be happy here, and you get a house, and she's like, well, this is my closet, this is my second closet, by the way, so I'm going to have all my stuff here, I think I'm going to be happy if I can get all this, oh, I got a car, oh, I need new wheels, because those wheels are not good enough, let's put on some big wheels. I'm trying to be content. I'm trying to meet a need and I'm trying to get stuff in my life. Now, I want you to understand this morning, here's a disclaimer. Oh, when you think about just getting more stuff, and we want to get more, because we're in a culture of getting more, we've got our needs, we want more. You see, the problem, what he says in verse 4, he said, so I started some large projects. I built houses for myself. So Solomon now tried pleasure, didn't work. He's like, now I want more stuff. Let me just get more. So he started life projects, build a house for himself, right? Planted vineyards, made gardens and parks, planted all kinds of fruit trees in them, and made lakes to water groves of the healthy trees. He's like, I made all that. I tried to go for more stuff. Anybody connecting with what I'm saying? We try to just get for more and more. And we see that all happen. But here's the thing. This morning, I want you to know that I'm not sharing this to give you any impression that getting a new car is the wrong thing, or getting your dream man cave is a bad thing. I'm not saying getting new boots is a bad thing. I'm not saying trying to get a great vacation is a bad thing. I'm not saying that, because it is not wrong. The stuff itself is not wrong. It is only wrong when we are trying to get the stuff to meet a need that only God can meet.
Amen.
Right? That is what it is. Stuff isn't bad, but if I have a deep need that drives me, it is only wrong when I'm trying to get that stuff to meet a need that only God can meet. We've been designed by God. And the way we've been designed for a relationship with God. And there's always going to be a deep need inside of us. And that deep need inside of us is only God who can satisfy. Now, going back to the message. So Solomon says, well, I've had more. But then everybody is beginning to have more because I'm making everyone rich. Then the next thing he said, you know what? I want to go for better. And don't we do that sometimes? I got iPhone 7, I want 8. Oh, 10 came out, I want 10 now. Anything wrong with 10? No, I want XR or whatever, you know. Oh, I got a Note 8, is it working fine? Sure, but what, there's a Note 9 now. You know, I want more, I want better. That's our human nature. I want better than anybody else because everybody else got what I got.
Yep.
So I need better. Because we're driven by a deep need to be content. And like, I want better. So Solomon said, let me try better. Here's what the Bible says. I bought male and female slaves. Now, those are employees. In the Bible, that's because, you know, he hired more people to work for him. And I had other slaves who were born in my house. I owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem have ever had before. Why? Because it's going to be better. Right? And the Bible says, I stored up myself gold and silver. I gathered up the treasures of kings and their kingdoms. I got some male and female singers. I also got many women for myself. Women to delight my heart. He's going off the deep end. I mean, he's like, I gotta get content. I gotta have this need inside of me, man. Look at that. He became far more important than anyone in Jerusalem had ever been before. In spite of everything, I didn't lose my wisdom. He's like, I tried better. I went for that. And that's how sometimes when we find ourselves always reaching for something better, I don't want you to stop reaching for something better, but ask yourself, what am I trying to satisfy?
Right.
Get to our self-reflect, because if what you have isn't satisfying you, and there's nothing wrong with it, but there's a deep need to want better, maybe you're seeking for God, but you're seeking for him in the wrong thing. So you need to slow down, like, okay, why do I want that? Let me find out. Because the sad thing is, if you get caught up in not being aware of the deep need in your life for God, and you try to find it something else, you get caught up in this never-ending cycle of never be content because you focus on you. So this is what he said. After doing all that, he said, I gave myself everything my eyes wanted. Because he could afford it, right? And he said, there wasn't any pleasure that I refused to give myself. Think about that. Right? Anything that was pleasurable, he got it. I took delight in everything I did, and that was what I got for all my work. He says, but then I looked over everything my hands had done. I saw what I worked so hard to get. Nothing had any meaning.
Wow.
chest in the wind. Nothing satisfied. Everything was fraught. Everything was empty. It was like chest in the wind. Nothing gained was gained on this earth that had any meaning. So that's the conclusion that he says. This whole time, I was about me. I was self-driven. I was about the kingdom of me. And the kingdom of me, no matter how I worked to satisfy the kingdom of me, it all came out empty-handed. So then Jesus comes on the scene. And he knows the human need, that we're prone to be like Solomon, that if we had more, we'd just be carried away. I actually read an article that Jim Carrey say, if anybody, Jim Carrey, I think there's an actor who say that he wishes everybody would be rich and famous so they can find out there's nothing good in it. It's still empty. But this is what Solomon say. So because the kingdom of me, the kingdom of centered me, wanting more, seeking me, trying to find a way to satisfy my need, Jesus comes and says, here's what we're going to do. Jesus comes on the scene and says, die to self. He comes and says, die to the me kingdom. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, 24, Jesus said, unless you deny yourself and carry your cross, you can't find life and you can't follow me. Why? Because if you're going to follow me, if you seek me kingdom, you can't follow me because you'll be concerned about you more than me. Or about more yourself than the king. So Jesus comes on the scene and says, we have to die to this self, this me kingdom, and replace that. So what did Jesus then say? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, he says, so don't worry, don't say, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Why? He's like, don't be concerned about the me kingdom. Don't get up and think just about yourself. Don't make your life be all about you. Don't make you being content be the mission of your life. He's trying to say, don't make it about you. Why did Jesus say, don't make it about you in that verse? Then he says, people who are ungodly, people that don't know Jesus, right? Run after all those things. Amen. And then he says, your father who's in heaven knows that you need this thing. He said, then you run after that. But you are not supposed to, because you are mine. You are in this kingdom. You've been on the me kingdom. Now let's get into my kingdom. And he says, people who are ungodly, they're always chasing for stuff. They're always chasing for something better, something great, something important. They're always chasing to meet that need. And Jesus says, I'm already here to meet your need. And that's what he says, but put God's kingdom first. Take the me kingdom out of the picture and put the kingdom of God first. Some of you are like, well, I think I got that done because I'm a church. Check. How many know you can still be at church and be about you? You can still be at church and be about me kingdom. Well, didn't say hi to me. Or didn't recognize me. Or I don't like that song. Or I don't like how the pastor's dressed today. I'm not digging it today. I'm not feeling it. You know, who's it about now? You. But where are you? At church. You see, so don't, you have to be so careful, because the meat kingdom is so slippery. I wake up in the morning and it's a harsh of the first thing you're tempted to think about you. And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Do you know that behind every divorce is the me kingdom? Do you know that behind every quarrels and fights and forgiveness is me kingdom? Everything that sets us backwards is because we're driven by me, my needs, what I want. And Jesus says, hey, I know that the best for you is when you put first the kingdom of God. Now, wherever there's first, there must be second. So Jesus is not opposed for you to seek your kingdom. He's only saying, do it in the right order. Amen. Put my kingdom first and then do your kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
But mine first.
Yes. Amen.
Put my kingdom first. That is the wisdom that Jesus gives. You see, he says, you know, in your marriage, try to put me first. Put me first in your marriage and see what's going to happen. But as long as you're first in your marriage, then we'll see what's happening. It's not going to be good. But if Jesus becomes first in the marriage, if he becomes first in your finances, if he becomes first in your relationship, be first in your life. It's going to change your life. He says, put me first. See, every day when you wake up, we have to understand, guys, that there are many Christians today, so-called Christians, that are seated in churches this morning, but maybe God is on first.
Amen.
Is he first? That's what Jesus says, if I don't want to be me kingdom because me kingdom doesn't satisfy, Jesus says, hey, put me first. When you wake up in the morning, is he first? Are you going to give him the first minutes of your day? Are you going to say first to God when you open up, when you wake up on the next day? Do you put it first?
Well,
or has the devil convinced us to say, you know what? You know what? I can figure out my day without God. So all I need, I'm going to get me some coffee and hit the road and I got this covered.
Well,
I'll figure out how to do my marriage without him first. So my way, my rules in this house, I'm going to figure this out. Oh, I don't need to put him first in my finances. I can do my finances all by myself. Well, I need Jesus for eternal life. I need him to go to heaven. So I give him my heart. That's good. But the other things, I'm going to figure them out. So I don't need him in my day because I'm pretty good. I know how to drive. People like me at my job. I'm great at what I do. I can pull it off. Do you know that many Christians today, this is on Sunday, it's the first time the entire week they've come close to anything like worship or hearing God's word.
Amen.
First time. All week long, there was no contact with God's word. There was no contact with prayer. We're consumed by me kingdom. Now, they get to hear God's word. Why? Because too busy consumed by me. I have no time for him because I can figure this out. Now, let me ask you. So I'm married to a beautiful woman and I'm blessed and thankful for that. And I thank God for that. She's a wonderful person. But imagine if I live my entire week without ever saying a word to her, follow me, right? And live in the house like she's not there. I don't acknowledge her. I don't say anything. And maybe we'll get to be together, but I don't say a word or see her on the other side while she's on the other side. I don't talk to her, right? And maybe we sleep in the same room. I face the east and she faces the west. Or I sleep in another room. I sleep in the couch. And once a week, for 30 minutes, I say, hey, honey, I love you. You know, you mean a lot to me. And then after that, till next week, I go back in my routine, don't say a word, don't engage with her, don't connect with her, don't acknowledge her, don't eat with her, don't sleep with her, until next Sunday. Hey, honey, I love you. How are you doing? How many think she'd be cool with that? How many know that a lot of us do that to Jesus? We do a lot to Jesus that. And, you know, I talk with people a lot of times. So brothers like, hey, you know, I'm struggling. This is an issue in my life. I'm struggling. I'm trying. And, you know, and I ask him, hey, what's your prayer life like? He's like, I pray when I can, but not really much. I'm like, that is your problem. Because you're coming to me. You think I can fix you. I say, I can't fix you. Jesus can, but if you never show up to Jesus, you're going to keep that way. And a lot of Christians are struggling with some things because they have no prayer in their life. They just don't have time for Jesus. They just, this, seek first, is not a priority. So the meek kingdom is what's killing us. But if we can find his kingdom, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to change our lives. It's going to change our lives. The more I focus on me, listen, the more I focus on me, that's where the devil wants me. You know why? Because the devil knows his way. He knows very well his way around the new kingdom. He knows it very well. It's like, as long as you focus on me kingdom, I know all the avenues in the me kingdom. I know all the streets in the me kingdom. I know that like the back of my head. I'm going to work that very well. So in order for me to stop the devil having his way in my life, I need to shift from the me kingdom to kingdom first. The kingdom of Jesus. You see, what you thought the weekend would give you is actually what Jesus can give you. What you thought the new car would give you is what Jesus offers. What you thought a bottle of alcohol would give you is what Jesus offers. What you thought a new house would give you, that's what Jesus offers. What you thought a new purse would give you, that was Jesus offers. What you thought a husband would give you, that's what Jesus is offering. What you thought a wife would give you, that's what Jesus offers. He says, these people seek all that, but I am right here. Seek me first, and if you do any, all those things will be added to you, because you'll be content. Because I, the Lord, I only can satisfy. Ladies and gentlemen, if we seek God first, two things happen. One, it frustrates the devil and his demons, because they don't know how to work it. When you put God first, the devil doesn't know the streets in God's kingdom. He doesn't know the routes. So he's frustrated. He can't mess, because your life ain't about you. It's about his kingdom. It's about Jesus first in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your entire life. You're trying to put him first. It frustrates the devil. Secondly, what happens? You find others in the kingdom. There is no king without his citizens. So when you find the king, you find his people. Amen. And when you find his people, then you see the need. It's a lot easier for me to encourage somebody, inspire somebody, motivate somebody, pray for somebody, as long as I'm his kingdom first. But when it's me kingdom, I'm so busy with me that I can't pray for you. I'm so busy with me that I can't encourage you. I'm so busy with me that you're annoying me with your needs. But if I'm about his kingdom, then your need is my opportunity. I delight in the fact that I have the privilege to stand in the gap and pray with you and support you and encourage you, because it's not about me. It's about the king. Now I'm looking at the king's daughter. I'm looking at the king's son. And it's a pleasure. It's a privilege. Like, oh yes, I'll pray with you. I'll support you. I'll encourage you. It's not a burden, because you have shifted from the me kingdom to his kingdom. One of the reasons why we may find it hard to connect and pray with each other and support each other and encourage one another and build one another and be the body and be connected, that is actually because of me kingdom. As long as you focus on me kingdom, connecting, supporting, encouraging, praying, building each other is going to be hard. But the moment I shift from me kingdom to his kingdom first, I find others in the kingdom that I'm going to support. I find it easy to do that because he is the king. Yes. Amen. Imagine we all put God first. Imagine we sought his kingdom first every single day of our life. The moment you got up, he was number one. Imagine your marriage, he was first. Imagine in your finances, he was first. Imagine in your life, Jesus was first. I mean, imagine you'll be wanting to pray. You'll be wanting to connect with him. And you find it easy to build and pray and encourage and support somebody else, because it's not about you. It's not about me kingdom. It's about his kingdom. Amen. The meek kingdom syndrome will always resist the unity of faith. Will always resist the unity of faith. And yet that's what God has called us to be one. Individual members of each other. The moment I feel inconvenienced by somebody else, it's because I'm focused on me.
Yes, yes.
And I'm missing the opportunity to give blessing to somebody else. Let's pray for each other this morning. That God will help us to make that shift from being meek kingdom centered to be Christ first. Christ first, His kingdom. Would you say with me, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to make the shift about from me kingdom to King Jesus first, His kingdom first. God, help me. Give me grace. Because only you can satisfy. Everything about me kingdom leads to discontent. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Be first. Have your way. In Jesus' name.